We're looking this morning at Philippians chapter 3. Let's just have a little, make sure my connection's all right. Yeah, I think we are. God laid this on my heart as something that's important to talk about this morning. And there is a real sense that God wants to bring breakthrough in lives this morning. So I'm really excited about that. I hope you are too. And it would be great if you could approach this teaching now as being, it could be that God wants to do some breakthrough in my life. Because then you might be approaching it in the right way. The title is Pressing On, and I can pretty much tell what kind of week I'm going to have by knowing what God's laid on my heart to preach about. So it's been very much a pressing on week. So let me just read to you from Philippians chapter 3, starting to read at verse 12. Let me just shout to you from Philippians chapter 3, starting to read at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. It always amuses me, that one, because it says, I do one thing. I forget the past. I strain on for the future and I lay hold of what... I always think that's three things, isn't it? But it's all part of the one thing, which is the pressing on thing. Let me just see what's going on here. All right now? Again? Yeah. Well, gonna press on. I'll pop it in my back pocket and see what happens now. There we are. And we're thinking today in part about spiritual maturity, which is very different from what many people think of maturity. And let me give you an article I saw in a magazine which talks about, you know you're getting mature when. You know you're getting mature when your back goes out but you stay at home. You know you're getting mature when you wake up actually looking like your driver's license picture. When your idea of a night out is sitting on the decking. When happy hour is a nap. When you're on holiday and your energy runs out before your money does. When it takes longer to rest than it did to get tired. When the chemist has become your new best friend. When you try to straighten out the wrinkles on your socks and discover that you aren't wearing any. When everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. When you think you have more patience, but actually you just don't care anymore. Now, actually, that isn't maturity, is it? That's just getting old. And the sense that the Bible sense of what mature is complete, perfect, of full age, full grown, ripe, spiritual, mental, moral character, integrity, and virtue. All of us who are mature should take such a view of these things, it says. And it's talking about the preceding verses. We should all be forgetting what's behind, living up to what we've already attained, and straining and pressing on towards what's ahead. Why? Because we want to know Jesus as Lord. We want to be made righteous, be made holy through faith. We want to live a life of resurrection power. We want to live a life of sacrifice and obedience. And we want to live in the light of and in preparation for eternity. Those were those, a précis of those verses. And what shapes us? What helps to bring us to maturity? Part of the answer is in these verses. It's about our response to the past. It's about our response to the present. And it's about our response
to the future. As children of God, the way we respond will make a huge difference to our maturity, to our becoming the finished article, complete people, more like Jesus. And Paul says here that he wants to lay hold of, obtain maturity. The King James Version uses the word apprehended, and that's a kind of police word. Thank you. Let's just see what happens now. It's a police word. So, for example, and you'd hear it in Britain with a particular sort of police accent. It'd be like, "Your Honour, it was at this point that I apprehended the defendant." Using the words, "You are nicked, Sonny." It's that kind of apprehended. So our aim, Paul is saying, is to apprehend maturity. We want to say, maturity, you are nicked. But maturity is a slippery customer. It leads us a merry chase down various side streets in our lives if we let it. And our aim is to grab hold of it. Paul says he hasn't got there yet, but there are vital things that he is doing to get there. And they're the very things we should be doing too. And I really believe God wants to challenge and encourage us as a church today. He's actually looking for a response from us. It's a preparation for the exciting future he has for us. Shall we lose it? Yeah. And your part this morning, respond to the things that God is speaking to you about. So the first part of the equation is to do with letting go of the past. Forgetting what is behind. What do we mean by that? There are some things that are good to forget, and there are some things that are vital to remember. There's a story about a city dweller. He's visiting relatives on a farm. The farmer gives a whistle. His dog herds the cattle into the pen and then latches the gate with her paw. Pretty impressive. "Wow, that's some dog," he says. "What's the name?" The farmer says, "What do you call that red flower that smells good and has thorns on the stem?" And the guy goes, "Rose." The farmer turns to his wife and goes, "Rose, what's the name of our dog?" There are some things that it's vital to remember, like your wife's name, for instance. And as Christians, we are called to remember certain things. We are to remember what God has done for us. We're to remember all that Jesus has done. We're called to remember his specific goodness to us. And it's so often forgetting that sort of stuff that leads God's people into disobedience and rebellion. So forgetting what's behind doesn't mean that. What it does mean in part is letting go of stuff that's to do with the past. For example, letting go of guilt. There are people all over the world, and there are people here today who are dogged by guilt. Maybe you've prayed for forgiveness for days, even years, and still don't feel forgiven. You've repented, you've renounced, you've rejected, but there's been no sense of freedom. And God wants you to be able to let go of the past today, to be released, to know that you are clean and forgiven. Because the enemy's having a field day with you. You can't let go of the past, so you're struggling to function in the present. And you're unable to look forward to the future God has for you. You're under the power of sin that's already been cancelled, because you can't let go of the guilt. I've mentioned this story before, but I'm going to mention it again because it's so powerful. And it's the story of a priest in the Philippines who has had a successful ministry for many years. But when he was at college, he really fell into sin. And he's never been able to forgive himself. And so has no sense of God's forgiveness. Now, in his church, there was a woman who actually had visions where she spoke with Jesus and Jesus with her. And the priest was skeptical of this. And so he gave her a test. He said, next time you speak to Jesus, I want you to ask him, what was that sin that I committed in college? Then I'll know you're really hearing from Jesus. And he waited a while and he saw the woman again. And he said, well, did Jesus visit you in your dreams and visions? She said, yes, he did. And did you ask him about that stuff I did at college? Yes, I did. And what did he say? He says, I don't remember. What God forgives, he forgets. And maybe you need to accept the forgiveness that is yours today. You need to pray the Lord's Prayer and say, forgive me my sins as I forgive myself. Forgive me my sins as I forgive me. Choose to forget what God has forgotten. Ask God's help to heal the memories. Ask for God's strength to stand against the accusation of the evil one. Now, I believe there's at least one person here today, and maybe more, where you need to let go of guilt this morning. Sunday morning is a great morning for letting go of guilt. Every day is good. Today is fantastic because it's today. It's better than tomorrow. Secondly, letting go of unforgiveness. There are people all over the world, and there are people in this church today who are dogged by unforgiveness. Bitterness and resentment, even hatred, can't or won't forgive others for what they've said and done. God for what he's allowed. God wants you to be able to let go of the past today, to be released as you choose to forgive and choose to forget. Because the enemy's having a field day with you. Because you can't let go of the past, you're struggling to function in the present, and you're unable to be released into the future God has for you. You're under the power of your inability or your unwillingness to forgive. Church, whether that's something that's happened with friends, whether that's something that's happened in your family, you may be struggling to forgive your husband, struggling to forgive your wife, mom and dad, children. So the wound is festering and making you ill inside. You need to forgive and be set free to experience true forgiveness yourself. Forgive me my sins as I forgive. Because then you're free to experience healing from the hurt. Choose to forgive. Ask for God's help to heal the memories and the hurts. And strength to stand up against the provocation of the evil one. It's a challenge for someone today. It's time to be set free from that stuff that you hold on to. It's time to be set free. It's also about letting go of who we were. As we pray for people, we hear stories. They start like this. Maybe when I was a kid, this happened. Or at the last church I was at, this happened. Or the pastor said this, did this. Or last time I was prayed for, they did this. Or last time I joined a home group, this happened. Stories. Many of them very sad about relationships that have gone wrong. About hurts. About disappointments. Stories about failures in their own lives. But sadder still, there are people who've been stuck in that place for years, burned, hurt, fearful, cautious, cynical, feeling a failure, afraid to re-engage and reconnect and revisit those places for fear of the consequences. This is what happened. This is why I'm like I am. The end. Full stop. But it doesn't have to be that way. You see, if we're unable to let go of who we were, we can't become who we should be. If we're unable to let go of what was, we can't be released into what could be. And the enemy of our souls, who comes to steal and spoil and destroy, rejoices as we buy the lies. And our Savior Jesus, who died to give us the fullest of lives, grieves as we lose the truth. And I want to say to you this morning, that was then, this is now. That was then, but this is now. When I first went into Christian ministry, there was a period of years in my mid-20s where I would say in a ministry context, I was treated appallingly. And I could talk for ages, if you wanted me to, about how appallingly I was treated. Would you like me to do that this morning? Of course you wouldn't. You want to tell me about how appallingly you've been treated? No, of course you don't. Because it doesn't work, does it? I was used, I was conned, I was manipulated, I was misled, I was trampled on by Christian leaders. And that's true. It happened. And it hurt. And it was discouraging. And it was painful. And I ended up asking many hard questions. But that was then. And this is now. And if Jeff Baker 51, that's me, Jeff Baker 51, responds out of the hurts of Jeff Baker 25, it's a sad day for all of us. It's victory for the enemy. It's not got a lot to do with maturity. Because that was then, and this is now. And it's not a case of because this happened, then inevitably Jeff Baker 51 is going to be miserable and bitter and cynical and not want to be involved in ministry anymore. It's that happened, but because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, there's forgiveness. Because of Jesus, there's healing. Because of Jesus, there's forgiveness and there's hope and there's a future. Thanks, Frank. And I want to say to you that some of the most exciting and best things that have ever happened in my Christian life are happening now. Yeah, it's a slog. Yeah, we have to push on and lay hold of. And it's not easy. But they're happening now. Not to Jeff Baker 25 or even 30 or even 40 or even 50, but to Jeff Baker 51. And that gives me great hope for Jeff Baker 55. I don't even dare think about what Jeff Baker 60 will be like if we carry on like this. And I want that reality for everyone. Maybe it's time, and you know it's time, to let go of who you were. Stop doing it the old way. It's time to grow up. That was then. This is now. Letting go of the past. Secondly, holding on to the present. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. Paul says, one of the key reasons that we don't reach maturity is that we don't hold on to what we have already. We have to learn our lessons time after time. We fluctuate wildly in our walk with God. We stumble and we fall in the same areas. And the challenge for some, maybe for most of us, is simply about consistency. It's about consistency. It's about consistency in perseverance. Let me give you a little list of famous people who were slow starters. Winston Churchill was deemed to be so dull as a youth that his father thought he might have to send him abroad because he would be incapable of actually earning a living in England. I don't know what that says about everywhere else. Charles Darwin did so poorly in school that his father told him he would be a disgrace to himself and his family. G.K. Chesterton couldn't read until he was 8. And his teacher told him, if we could open up your head, we should not find any brain, but only a lump of white fat. Thomas Edison's teacher described him as addled, and his father said he was a dunce. Albert Einstein's parents feared that he was so dull and he performed so badly in all high school courses except maths that the teacher asked him to drop out. They all kept going. And they all changed our world. There's nothing so fatal to character as half-finished tasks. Consistency and perseverance. Keep on keeping on. Do you know this? You might be a genius who's just had a slow start. Have you thought of that? When people describe you as a dunce and addled and say that your brain is a lump of white fat, you're just a genius who's had a slow start. Perseverance. Because you are a wonderful child of God who has the very power of God within you. Consistency in purity, too. We read in Proverbs, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. And also, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. We hold on to holy living by choice, by what we guard and how we guard it. And for some, the wall to our hearts has got hole in it because we lack self-control. The enemy can attack almost at will because our defenses end up being flimsy. And repenting of sin and renouncing sin and rejecting sin help us to build the wall. Sin won't go if we welcome it. It won't go if we want it. It won't go if we refuse to call it what it is. And for some, maybe today, there's a call to consistency when it comes to purity. Build up the walls again today. Put the things in place that will guard the heart. It's about consistency in power. We read often that his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and goodness. So we have things to do that are impossible without the Holy Spirit's power. And we're called to do them. God calls us to do impossible things. How cool is that? He calls us to do impossible things so that we will depend on the Holy Spirit. Because if he called us to do possible things, we'd just do them, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? If we try to do supernatural things with natural strength, it's impossibly tiring. And most of us know that because we've had a bash at it. And maybe today the call is to make it part of our consistent lifestyle to invite the Holy Spirit to fill us and empower us every day, every day, every day. Do you wake up and ask the Holy Spirit to empower you? Do you ask him to empower you through the day? Do you ask him to be doing some good work at night while you're asleep? Because he doesn't sleep. Might as well use that time valuably. Every day, throughout the day. So that we're consistent as people of the kingdom that isn't just a kingdom of words, but a kingdom of power. And maybe there's a challenge that it's been back to the old strength recently, and it needs to be a return to the Holy Spirit. So that's holding on to the present, and there's reaching out for the future. Verse 14, straining towards what's ahead. A man goes to his pastor. He says, I'm so depressed. I can't get any dates. And he doesn't mean like figs. He's talking about girls, just to be very specific. He's 25 stone, and he thinks that this might have something to do with it. I've tried everything, he says, to lose weight. The pastor says, I think I can help. I want you to be dressed and ready tomorrow at 8 o'clock. So next morning, he's ready. There's a knock on the door. He opens it, and there is a beautiful woman in a jogging suit. And she says to him, if you can catch me, I'm yours. And off she goes. And he huffs and puffs down the street, and he's a long way away. But he really does like the look of her. And every morning, she knocks on the door and says the same thing. And this goes on for months and months. And he's half the man he used to be. And he's catching up. And he's getting so close that he is convinced that the next day he's going to catch her. And so he's up at 7. 8 o'clock, there's a knock on the door. He whips the door open. And there's a rather large woman in a jogging suit who says, "Pastor said to tell you that if I can catch you, you're mine." It's a bit of cruel motivation, isn't it, that really? It achieved good things, but with a promise of something that wasn't really on offer. You know, many people see the Christian faith like that. It's like a carrot to keep you in line. Yeah, it's going to be pretty rough on earth, but we've got heaven. And that thinking affects Christians too. I wonder if it affects you. I wonder if you really believe that God is good and good to you. I wonder if you believe so much in the kingdom not yet that you don't really reach out for the kingdom now. You know, perhaps you've got whether it's a little child or it's a teenager, and you want them to pass you something, and it's about 7 inches away from them. And they go, "I can't reach it. You do it, you know. But I'm comfortable." Does that ever happen to you? Yeah, there's pointing going on at this very moment. In fact, it's happening to some grown-ups I can see. It's a classic example of self-fulfilling prophecy. "I can't reach it." And because they don't want to reach it, they can't. But that's the way we do life with God sometimes. We talk about things being out of reach, but we're not really prepared for the effort. We want it done for us. "I can't reach it, God. Will you just bless me again?" We say we can't reach it, but it may be that we don't want it enough. And for some of us, the call is to just stop messing around. And if we're hungry for God, to reach out with everything we've got. To reach out in faith. Reaching out in faith. Because we can't please God without faith, the writer to the Hebrews said. If we come to Him, we have to believe. Not just that He exists, but that He rewards those who seek Him earnestly. And if we don't trust God's word, we end up not obeying it because we're afraid of where that will take us. And if we don't trust God's works, we don't submit to them because we don't believe that ultimately His goodness is at work. And maybe for you it's time to believe again. You've had a battered time recently, but God is good, and He's always good, and He's always good to you. It's about reaching out in hope. Maybe we don't believe it's ever going to be any different on this earth. But things can change and things will change. And God will move in kindness and power and love. Not just in heaven. Not just in heaven, but on earth. Because we will have a taste of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And it's about reaching out in expectation. Maybe this morning your God is too small. We read in Corinthians to eagerly desire the greater gifts. We read to follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Especially the gift of prophecy. And there's a sense in which if we expect nothing, we receive nothing. Because we ask for nothing. "Oh yeah, God can give me gifts if He wants. He knows where I am. He's got my address. God can heal me if He wants. I've asked once. I don't want to make a fuss." Do you know what I'm talking about here? We all fall prey to that. And for myself, I know that God has placed in me, and it is sometimes intermittent, but it never goes away, that hunger for more. Because I believe him for more. So I pray for the gift of tongues. I have the gift of tongues. I've prayed about wisdom and discernment and believe God's used me in that. I've asked for words of knowledge and they come. I've asked for more prophetic revelation and received that and been blessed in that. So what's next? Signs and wonders I'm after now. And I am. That's what I'm praying for every day. And if I forget those, I don't know what's next. It'll be something. It'll be raising people from the dead or something. I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna keep pressing on. I'm gonna be asking for more because I want more of God, and I believe he gives more, and he's certainly not gonna give me more if I don't ask. My list keeps changing with each answer to prayer, and I wonder if you've got a list. Perhaps you think I'm greedy. Well, you can have it too, because it's not like, you know, I don't want to pray for healing because there are so many people who deserve healing much more than me. I can only do 3 healings a day, God says. Of course he doesn't. God can heal every day. He doesn't run out of love. He doesn't run out of miracles. He doesn't run out of power. I've no idea where that came from, but I'll see if I can find out where I am in the notes now. Expect great things from our great God. Look to do great things through the power of our great God. Believe in the possibilities. Someone once wrote that complacency is a blight that saps our energy. We end up being satisfied with things as they are, and then we reject things as they might be. So we end up saying near enough, good enough. And like water, complacent people end up following the easiest course, which is downhill. And the antidote that takes us to maturity, that spiritual, mental, moral character, that integrity, that virtue, that takes us to knowing Jesus as Lord and being made righteous through faith and living a life of resurrection power and living a life of sacrifice and obedience and living in the light of and in preparation for eternity is pressing on. Letting go of the past, holding on to the present, reaching out for the future. And so for some, it's time to know true forgiveness. For others, it's time to forgive. Time to commit ourselves to moving forward and letting go of the past. For some, it's time to commit to consistency in perseverance. Time to build up the walls around the heart of repentance and purity. Time to ask for the Holy Spirit's power. For some, it's time to reaffirm that God is good, to reach out in faith and trust, to confess doubt, to believe for change, to expect, to ask for great things. Reality TV shows are massive in Australia, aren't they? There's everything. You can put on weight, lose weight, dance yourself slim yourself to a dance. You can do anything. You can be MasterChef. You can be Australian Idol. You can be Australian Bone Idol. You can do anything. And one of the kind of formulas at the end, you know, they get to, as someone is just going out, and they tell them how marvelous and wonderful they are and how they hadn't voted for them, and then it's time for them to go, and we see their best bits, and then they say, do you have anything to say? And the words are slightly different, but most of them say the same thing. It goes like this. Don't listen to them when they tell you you can't do it. Boo. Who are they anyway? Who do they think they are, these people who say you can't do it? Just believe in yourself. Just never give up. You can be anything you want to be, they say. Cheers. And then off they go. The triumph of humanity over circumstances. We're inspired, we're encouraged. And it's partly true and partly rubbish. because I'm never going to win Australian Idol, or So You Think You Can Dance. Short of the powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit, in a way that makes me under 30 years old, and able to have some spatial awareness, both of which are sadly lacking. But I want you to think now of, instead of MasterChef or whatever else it is, think of Paul, who is on the best show in the world, Master Disciple. He's just coming to the end of his life, and he's being interviewed. He's won the prize. He knows he's on his way to heaven. He's seen the most amazing things. He's done the most amazing things. Does he have anything to say? Anything you want to say, Paul? And he says, don't listen to them, the world, sometimes the church even, or yourself when they say you can't do it. Just believe in God, never give up, and you can do everything he calls you to do. And you can be everything he calls you to be. So that's Paul. And what happens to the crowd? Well, in so many churches, at the point when you receive a word like that, there is stunned silence. You can do anything, you can be anything in God. And they go, yeah, right. They can, but I can't. Didn't work for me last week. All of this stuff goes on. And at the end of this speech, you have a choice. Is it stunned silence and disbelief, or do you cheer? Do you cry? Do you get inspired? Because you know it's true. And I'm not Paul, but I can say to you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you've only got to believe. Believe in God and never give up, because you can be everything he calls you to be. And you can do everything he calls you to do in the power of the Spirit, in the resurrection power of Jesus. And there is stunned silence. And there should be cheers. And there should be tears. And we should be inspired. Are you inspired? It's up to you. Oh. I mean, that must have gone on for 1.5 seconds. We're motoring now. We're getting somewhere. That was then. This is now. Do you want to be mature? Do you want to be the real deal? Then it's time to grab hold of all the stuff that God has for you. It's time to see that stuff released at Berwick Vineyard Church, across the city of Casey, across this wonderful land. And the question that God wants to ask you this morning, and me, and you can see I've been on my own little journey this week, is, are you ready? Are you ready to let go of the past? Are you ready to hold on to what you have through that consistency? Are you ready to reach out for the future in faith, in trust, in expectation? Now, obviously, because this was a word from God, everyone will have been spoken to. Accepting that, some people have been specifically spoken to this morning, and in a way that you know that you need to respond. And so I'm simply going to ask that if you know that God has absolutely put the finger on something for you about letting go of the past, or that consistency in your life, or that reaching out for more, and you know that you've been more than either inspired or slightly touched. Most of us are slightly touched, aren't we? But that you have been convicted. I'm just going to ask that you stand right now so that we can pray for you. Beautiful. If you're close to someone who's standing, if you just want to either reach your hands out to them or lay a hand on their shoulder and stand with them and pray with them. And then we'll pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, which is living and active. It's like that double-edged sword, and it gets right to the heart of things, and it deals with enemy stuff and kills it off. I just want to ask right now for those who want to be released from the past and are choosing to let go. I want to ask, Lord, that you will right now enable them to forgive themselves as they receive your forgiveness. That right now you'll enable them to forgive others. That you'll release bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness and set them free to respond as they should in Jesus' name. And ask, Lord, that you will also release them from who they were and enable them to step out now, knowing that you're calling them into a future with you, that the best is yet to come. Pray for those who stood specifically about that consistency. And ask, Lord, that you'd help them to reach out to you now and to walk that out. You'd empower them to make those right choices every day. You would give them the wisdom and discernment to see where they're being taken off track. And that you would remind them every day about the need for your Holy Spirit's indwelling and infilling and anointing. And pray right now for those that are reaching out for the future that you have for them. And ask, Lord, that you will inspire them to stretch right out for more of you. More of your gifts, more of your fruit, more of your power. You'd help them to reach out in faith for all that you have for them, all that you have for them to be, all of the things that you have for them to do. That the disappointments and the failures of the past will simply have no power anymore. That unbelief will be gone right now. And that faith and expectation will be released. In Jesus' name. Amen.